Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Thank you so much. God's amazing. It's really good when a minister, someone who's precious in God, as Pastor Judith is, invites you to come and speak at their church. It's an even bigger responsibility and honor when they're not here when you come, because they put a lot of trust in the Lord. And I really believe God's got something special for you guys today. You probably get something special every week, I'm sure you do. And but you know, when you come to a place like this, you can't really blag it. You're too discerning. You know, I get invited to some places and our local churches together, and you don't really even need to pray before you go, because they wouldn't have a clue. But when you come here, you have a clue. You're used to the anointing. And so we need Jesus, don't we? And, yeah. 'Cause, well, I mean, seriously, you go to some places and they don't want Jesus. They want their own thing. But here you want Jesus. And that's a very, very special thing, to want Jesus. So, Father, just pray this morning that you would do something even more awesome than you've already done. I thank you for the time of worship we've just had and the privilege to encounter you and such a strong sense of your spirit. Father, I just remember standing in the old hallway that used to meet in here in the school, and just saying, Lord, all that time ago you had something better, and Lord, this morning it's a privilege to stand in something better, to stand in a promise, to stand in a victory, and to stand in faith. And we just thank you for this place, Lord. I thank you for every precious person here. Thank you, Lord, we're not ministry fodder. We're children of the Most High God. And we are people with anointing and gracing to kick the enemy's butt and to see victory in every single part of our lives. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was praying and prepping for what God wanted to bless you guys with today, you know, you go to some Christians' houses and you go and use their toilet, and they have those posters on the wall with a little scripture on. Lots of Christians seem to do that. And one you often see is, rejoice in the Lord always. I don't know why people put that in their toilets, but they do. And, yeah. So I kind of like, if you get invited to talk somewhere and you kind of think, you know, if you have nothing to say, you speak on Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. So if anyone comes and ministers on Psalm 23, you know they haven't prepared. And the other one is rejoice in the Lord always, because we hear a lot about that. But I believe God's given me some stuff to really help you in what you're doing here and in your life personally. That's my only heart today, is that somehow God does something special to help you as an individual be stronger, because you're not just caught up in some big corporate thing and you're not unique. God sees you as unique, and the body is only as strong as the individual's walk with God. And with what God's going to be doing in churches in these next few years that are on fire for him, there's going to become a bigger difference between that which is fake and phony and that which is real. And you are part of a real church. Religion's had its day and had its say, and control and manipulation has had its say and had its day. But now it's time for faith to rise up and for people to go forward individually. And you wouldn't be part of a church like this if that wasn't in your heart, whether you've recognized it yet or not. So I'm going to give you 4 points today as to why rejoicing in the Lord is necessary, and actually why it is vital if you are going to go the whole hog, as it were, in your Christian walk. If you're going to see God do in and through your life everything he desires, I want to give you 4 things God's given me for you. On the back of personal testimony, really, this has been a big year for us as a family, us as a church, And whenever you go forward, you will always get opposition and persecution. And you will have challenges come up. You will have good things. You'll have victories. You'll have breakthroughs. But we need to learn to stay at a high level so that we're moving in God's miracle processing, so that we're growing, and so that we are strong individually. And we go from just being carried along by the corporate thing, and Sundays where we get put back together after this awful week we've had, into you going and you give the devil an awful week and you show who the boss is in the name of Jesus. But there's some secret, they're not secret tools, but there's some key tools to us being able to do this. And I live this stuff. I have to. We come under tremendous persecution just because we love Jesus and we're going forward. Well, the Bible says we will. And the Apostle Paul, in the context in which this is written, when he's writing to the church at Philippi, is in prison at the time. And he's had much persecution in the name of the gospel. He was just doing what God wanted him to do. And yet he was suffering much persecution in the middle of it. So basically, there's four key things. Number one, if you turn to Philippians 3, and verse 1. These are very simple things, but they're harder to take hold of, but God's going to grace us this morning. It says in Philippians 3 and verse 1, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard to you." That's as complicated as it gets. The first reason we are told in the Bible to rejoice in the Lord is it's a safeguard to you. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, it's easy to skip over some of those lines in the name of wanting to get into the meat of it. But that is the meat of it. Number one, rejoicing in the Lord is a safeguard, or it protects you. So if I was you, I'd be kind of thinking, well, what's it protecting me from? If rejoicing in the Lord always protects me, I want that protection. I want to feel safe. I was in India year before last, and I was really, I'd been watching television and one of these children in need things, and I'd watched the film, someone lent me the film Slumdog Millionaire. I said to my wife, I'd love to go to India, and kind of like put it on the shelf. And then we had an opportunity of about a week when I could go down there, across there, wherever it is. And so I did something mad, bought a ticket, had lots of injections, and went to India. And I actually went on to the very slums where they filmed on Slumdog Millionaire, where they took the Coca-Cola to the two boys there, the brothers there. And it still chokes me up thinking about it a little bit, because it was a life-transforming time. But in India, with all the terrorism, and in Mumbai, with all the other stuff, I had a pastor friend with me, and I felt protected when he was with me. And we were going into the places a tourist don't go. But I felt a kind of guarding when he was with me. He knew the area, he knew the ropes, he knew the people, he carried a respect, and therefore I was safe. Now, if you're a Christian, you need to be guarded from certain things. Rejoicing protects you, and it says here it is a safeguard to you. So what's it a safeguard from? Well, very clearly in 3 and verse 2, it says, "Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons to have confidence." So the first thing we're being guarded from here is when things come against you or attack you or persecute you, rejoicing puts your confidence in God as opposed to in you trying to sort it out. It is so simple and yet so powerful, because the devil wants to bring you and I to his level. He wants us to retaliate. He wants us to nurse it and rehearse it. He wants us to send long emails of self-justification. He constantly wants to pull you down to his level. But God says, if you rejoice in me, you will operate at a level that puts that in its right place. And yet, if we're honest, I think it's, I need to be careful what I say, but even with people who know better, religion will always oppose faith. Jesus had it, I have it, you probably have it, I'm sure you do. You can't be a faith church without that happening. And yet the constant battle in our lives on a daily basis is to come down to the enemy's level, to react how he would react, to defend ourselves, to justify ourselves, to stick up for ourselves. And God says, when you are rejoicing in me, you are proclaiming my lordship and kingship over that situation. And you are laughing and you confuse the devil and he hates it. And you are happy because you know God has sussed it and you've trusted it into his care. You're not kind of rejoicing as a Christian because it's like, well, all this naff stuff's happening, but I've got to rejoice and be happy about it all happening. You haven't got to be happy about naff stuff happening. You've got to trust God that in the middle of the naff stuff, he is in control. God hasn't called us to be church of the stupid. Now, things hurt. Things matter. God knows that. And he says, the way I'm going to bring you through it is by rejoicing. So rejoicing safeguards you. It safeguards you from coming down to the enemy's level. Verse 8, it goes on to say, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the passing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteous moan that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness that comes from faith. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and his fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. And again, in the context of this, just to simplify this, Paul is saying, I've lost everything, even my right to defend myself, even my right for me to sort it out. I consider that rubbish. Even my right to defend myself, I consider that rubbish in comparison to knowing Christ my Savior, Christ my Lord. He's turning it right back round and saying, God is in control. God is the one I'm trusting. God is the one who's on the throne. I will not live at the devil's level and do it myself. And I know what it is in recent months too, where, you know, religious accusing people hate faith. So if they can get you arguing at their level and emails and texts, and it drains your spirit. But if you just say, God is my justification, and you're moving in that place where God is your justification, you're rejoicing. You're not saying, God, I'm so happy that's just happened to me. You're saying, God, whatever happens to me, I rejoice in you because you are Lord and you are King and you are sovereign. You know, and you're in that place every day where God's searching your heart. You make sure you're forgiven. You make sure you're not judging. You make sure all of that. But there is a thing, and it's interesting, the Apostle Paul, where he says, watch out. Don't be naive as a Christian. Everyone's not nice out there. They're not. There are some horrible people out there under the influence of demonic spirits. The devil hates you. The devil has an assignment every day to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job. But God says, if you rejoice in me, that will become as nothing. You won't even have to take any notice of it. Because your victory is found in me. And when the devil has a go at you to knock you off track, if he can end up destroying your faith, he will. It's part of his job, which he's not going to let that happen. But when you go down to his level and you, instead of rejoicing in God, you start trying to defend yourself and get all concerned about what's happening. This is the sort of thing that can happen, and we're warned against. It says in Ephesians 4:31, you don't need to turn to this, I just want to get through this relatively quickly. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as God forgave you. You all know this scripture probably. But God's saying, get rid of it. You're better than that. God's saying, you're my child. It's like a king or a queen getting their clothes in Oxfam. It ain't going to happen. Now, if you get your clothes in Oxfam, I'm not having a go at you. Because I've given some clothes to Oxfam, and I only wear nice clothes, so I know they have some decent stuff sometimes. So you can get a bargain in Oxfam. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it's not fitting for you or me to have to be angry or brawl or slander. That's the devil's field. And God's given you a better field. You're treasured. You're wonderful. You have a higher place to live in. You're worth more than that. Because you're worth it. I felt really silly in Waitrose once. Only once. It was snowing and I had this black hat on. I don't like wearing hats because I don't think they see me. But anyway, I took it off and shook my head like that. And I realised the lady in the queue two tills down was kind of looking at me, trying not to laugh. Of course, I used to have long hair. But now when I take a hat off, I don't need to do that at all because nothing's moved anywhere anyway. But God's saying, another quick example of this is in Hebrews 12 and verse 4, and where it says, in your struggle, 4 and verse 31, Hebrews 12 and 15, I'm just joking. Hebrews 12, and we'll read any of it, it's all good, isn't it? It says, make every effort to live in peace with all men, and that means women as well. And to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So again, what's possible here is that a bitter root, as a result of what the enemy does to you or attack that comes against you or problems that you have, it says in the Bible it's possible for something to grow up in you that's not something children of God should have grow up in them. And it says to us, make sure that doesn't happen. No one else can make sure of that for you. People can pray with you and help you. But it says, make every effort to live at peace with all men. And the way to live at peace with some people is to have nothing to do with them, by the way. Seriously, not within the body. But there are some people out there, the best way is not to have anything to do with them because their hearts are wrong and against you and stuff like that. But it says, make every effort without holiness. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and no bitter root. Well, what is the grace of God in this context? The grace of God is that you should be able to rejoice always. The grace of God is that you are free from anxiety and stress and bitterness and negativity. And it says, be careful, make sure that no bitter root grows up. Now, I've seen people that have been bitter against me 20 years ago, and now they're walking around gnarled up, and they persecute me, and now they're gnarled up, and they're all kind of crunched up. And what was happening in the inside is being reflected through rheumatism and through gnarledness, because what happens on the inside is reflected on the outside, which is why the Bible says, so let your light shine before men that they may see. And this, it's not that you're just a bit bitter one day and you have to get over it. That won't do anything. Just ask for forgiveness and get on with it. But something took root in this person of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment, started working against the purposes of God and is now reflected in the physical. So God's saying here in this context, says, rejoicing will protect you from a bitter root growing up. Rejoicing will protect you from having a victim mentality. Okay? So number one is rejoicing will protect you. Number two, rejoicing releases victory. Now turn back to Philippians 4 if you're following this in your Bible. Philippians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I'm going to read that again, because otherwise we'll jump ahead and miss it. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, That is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Now, just before all of that is written, the Apostle Paul is again in this place in prison, in persecution, so on and so forth. But he's saying about rejoicing and saying that is how you should stand firm in the Lord. Now, when something like that's in the Bible, it suggests that you won't necessarily stand firm in the Lord. That suggests to me that situations and circumstances can come our way that would shake us and knock us off course so that we don't keep moving forward in victory. And the Apostle Paul is using this language and he's saying, that is how you stand firm in the Lord, my friends, by rejoicing. And again, by the end of this, you'll actually see the full context. But it says, when you rejoice, I've written down five sub-things here, it shows God is big to you. When you rejoice, that is how you should stand firm. So basically, rejoicing shows that God is big to you. You can rejoice because you know he is Lord. You're walking in fellowship with him. You know he knows exactly the situation you are in. You know that however big and intimidating this other stuff is that's coming against you, he is big to you. Rejoicing shows, well, God, I'm just happy because I know you've sorted it out. Hallelujah. A kind of example of this, just picking up my jumper quick. I see there's another discerning man in the congregation with some Gant on as well. This is also a Gant jumper. Well done, my friend. You are in the flow today. Hallelujah. And Dave here, if he needed a jumper, his muscles are bigger than mine, so I'm not going to let him put it on because he'll stretch it. But it's like him saying, I need a jumper. I haven't got a jumper. Could really do with a jumper. And I say, Dave, I am giving you my jumper. And he knows he has the answer. He knows that that jumper, if the story went that way, which it's not going to, he would know that that jumper's his and he's at peace. He's got the outcome of his need. And it's the same in what's happening here. You see, if you know God has sussed it, you can rejoice. But if you're not walking in close relationship and confidence and enjoying his presence and worshiping him every day and praying and all of that stuff, you won't have the relationship to have the confidence to know that he will deliver. And that's where you start looking to other people for your answer as opposed to looking to him and saying, God, I know that you know I'm at where I'm at and I know that you will bring me through. But you see, that has to go beyond a faith statement. That comes out of relationship. It's good to declare faith, but faith really operates out of relationship with him. And that's why I know you'll be encouraged to do this here. And it's so evident in the worship. People know the Lord. But we have to keep cultivating that relationship. Because when the rubber hits the road and the challenge comes your way, you can't just switch this on. You have to be moving in it. I was preaching this stuff in our church a few weeks ago. And I was just saying about this thing, you know, you cannot just switch faith on. You have to be moving in it if you're going to be able to activate it in the time of crisis. And I was preaching it thinking, well, okay, that's it. Go home. Have the chicken that's been in the oven. It wasn't the same one that had been kicked into the field and... So it was probably a different one. It didn't have any dents in it. And this lady who'd been in the meeting phoned me in the afternoon. She said, Pastor Dave, I got home and I heard that my sister had fallen down the stairs and she killed herself. Her head got hit and she died. And she says, but I know I have the victory. I know Jesus is Lord. I know I can rejoice in him. And I know that he will bring me through this. Well, to a lesser person of faith, I don't know where they'd be at, but within a week she's ministering, holding women's breakfasts. Because to her, God is stronger than the situation. Because I know this lady, she's a woman of faith. I always say in church, if I've ever got stuck on a desert island, I want to be with her, because she wouldn't let the weather or anything stop us escaping. She's a Scottish lady and she's a warrior, you know. Robert the Bruce would have had a problem with her. She is really a faith woman. But she's had to cultivate that faith. She's had challenges in her life. She's had opposition in her life. But she's come through. And so it's easy for her to rejoice in any situation and circumstance because the testing of her faith has proved it's genuine. And so when you rejoice, it says, I have a relationship with God that I know he will bring me through. I just know that's what my God is like. Now, if one of you comes up to me at the end and says, Dave, I'm going to give you a fiver, or I'm going to have a new Mercedes delivered to your drive tomorrow, I don't really know if it's going to happen or not because I don't know you that well. But if someone you really know says it, if Pastor Judith came to you and said, look you in the eye and said, there's going to be a new Merc on your drive first thing tomorrow morning, I want to bless you in the name of Jesus, you would rejoice. You'd say, hallelujah. Don't like Mercedes. You would just be happy and just sell it and get what you do like. Be happy. But you'd know it would happen because you'd know she wouldn't mess. Now, if I said it to you, you probably don't know me quite so well. You think, well, is he joking, isn't he? But you've got a relationship with God. You know when he says it, I will bring you through. He will. You're convinced. So don't you dare, devil, throw that problem at me and tell me that it's going to defeat me. And I'm not going to be sad because God will bring me through because he is King of Kings. And I'm convinced and persuaded that he will. Therefore, I rejoice. Amen. See, sometimes we hear this stuff. And this rejoicing is just kind of like, oh, I'm a Christian and all these horrid things are happening, but I'm rejoicing anyway. Well, how are you? Well, you know, 3 car crashes this week, house burnt down, you know, got mobbed, attacked, everything, but I'm rejoicing. It's not about that. I really thank God for the latest crash. Hallelujah, insurance gone up, I'm rejoicing. Get a grip. It proclaims that God is in control. This is where number 2 releases victory. It shows that you are trusting him. It releases faith because God begins to show you things how he sees it. So I managed to get down to the hotel yesterday afternoon. And I really wanted to just spend time in prayer and in worship because it's not often I get time just of just being away from everything else that's happening. And I was just praying. And as I'm worshipping and trusting God, I wasn't praying about anything, but he started to show me some things that have been rattling me from his perspective. Like he's saying, what are you so worried about? What are you so concerned about? You've let that person doing that to you become God. Oh, no, I don't worship. Well, what you're actually saying is they have more influence than I've given them over your life. Why have you let it in? You rejoice. No, we don't do that. Well, we do. We let people and situations and circumstances become God to the degree that we don't trust God. If we're reacting and miserable about where our life's at the moment, what we're actually saying is we're not trusting God. And it's not a clinical thing. Oh, well, great. Not only now I've had 15 car crashes, but I've burnt down everything else. Now I'm not rejoicing enough. Great. It's not that. The rejoicing is a victory sound. Rejoicing is something in your spirit that it has a warrior attachment to it. It has a powerful thing attached to it where you know personally, I am not having that. No, that is not how it's going to be. That is not what the word says. And again, I know you have a strong relationship with God and would encourage you and all this bit, but that's cultivated through relationship. It's not a thing to leave here today thinking, I'm going to rejoice more. No, you won't. You just cultivate relationship with God, and the rejoicing and the confidence comes from that. Hear what I'm saying? Otherwise, you just leave depressed. Well, I've got all my problems and now I know why I'm not rejoicing. And really, I don't feel like rejoicing. In fact, it's even worse. I thought maybe by the end of the day I would be rejoicing, but thanks for bringing Pastor Dave. That's really nailed it all to the coffin. That's not what God's saying at all. God is actually saying there's a victory sound in rejoicing. You say less, God does more. Amen? Praise God. It proclaims you're in line with God's word. So there are a few subheadings for number 2, that rejoicing releases victory. So number 1, Rejoicing protects you. It guards you. It guards you from getting bitter. It guards you from all that other nonsense. Number two, rejoicing releases victory because it's focused on God and God is our victory. So you cannot trust him and not have the victory because the scripture says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He always leads us in triumphal procession. But when we're not experiencing that or seeing that, it's because we're not doing the things God's asking us to do. And even in my relationship with God, I'm kind of like, God, would you just grace me to rejoice? I feel sad. I felt a month ago devastated by some of the stuff that's happening against me. And I was at the lowest of low inside in some ways, just because of some of the persecution. God comes along and says, Dave, if you will rejoice in me and trust me, I will not just mechanically sort the situation out. I'll bring you into a greater revelation of my grace and how I see things and trust. God, if you rejoice, God will grow you in the middle of the pain. He's not silly. He knows what the pain looks like. He knows what the pain feels like. He's not a mechanical thing where we're all so cold towards each other that if one of us is struggling, it's like, well, just rejoice. You want to slap people like that, don't you? Just rejoice. Well, just get lost. Just get in life. Praise the Lord. Okay. So number three, if number two was rejoice and releases victory, and number one was rejoice and protection, number three is rejoicing defeats the enemy. Rejoicing defeats the enemy. And in Philippians 4:4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always, I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. So don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. We should be the most peaceful people. You know, the most peaceful people in the world. At Faith Camp, they had me heading up the pastoral team for 3 years. And then it kind of shut down. I don't know what I did, but we don't have one anymore. It went bust. Well, it's all, one of the things God used me to do, and please hear me right with this, is I just had this revelation that everyone was running around stressed looking for problems at Faith Camp that they could minister into. And when I came, I said, I'm not looking for any problems. If people come to camp full of problems, they can get sorted in the main meeting or when they get home. I'm not looking for problems. Now, in all seriousness, there were a few times when it was really necessary to help some people. But most problems people came to camp with, they'd had for 20 years anyway, and they had no more intention of listening to me than anyone else. So I sussed it out. So I kind of thought, Faith Camp is going to be really cool. I'm going to really enjoy it. And so I got a golf buggy. And then you know that advert, which is brilliant on television. Welcome to my world. Come and step inside. Welcome to my world, built with you in mind. And I wanted to bring a kind of tent with lots of sand and a little waterfall and a kind of, kind of mixer drink or something. But the whole thing God was telling us was, you know, even in our ministries, we're so intense and anxious and, they've got a demon and let's find another one. Whoa. I cast one out bigger than you. Woo! Chased it in my golf buggy. Next year I need a faster buggy because that one got away. I'm telling you, let's find some issues here. I said, no. Listen. Be anxious for nothing. God is in control. The enemy doesn't mind giving you work to do. The enemy doesn't mind having you praying about everything that doesn't need praying about. Think about it. Are you praying what God wants or are you praying what the enemy set up? Because the enemy needs ignoring. And Jesus needs exalting. And just in Nehemiah, when he was rebuilding the wall, the walls of Jerusalem, and these other people saying, come down, negotiate with us. And how he says, no, I'm doing the Lord's work. The Greek word for his response was get lost, from the Greek get elostiatios, which means run a mile. He said, I'm not being distracted from God's work. But so much of what we do if we're not rejoicing or what we're thinking or worrying about, isn't God didn't put it there. Because it says here, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. Here's the word again. Will guard your hearts and minds. There's a principle for being at peace. But if you're running around under the wrong agenda and you're saying, I receive your peace, really you're playing a game. But if you're trusting God, it's going to be all right. So at camp, we were kind of like, God, we are going to be at peace because we're rejoicing in you and we're going to run with your agenda. Do you realize in 3 years I didn't have one pastoral situation? It had nothing to do with the sign I stuck on the golf buggy. The Lord is your shepherd, leave me alone. But we can create issues. And we start to play to the enemy's tune. When my wife Marion was pregnant with Ben, we'd go into the hospital for these checkups you have to do, and they'd say things like, your child has one in something chance of having this, that, or the other wrong. And the amount of fear that would put on people, I was saying, in Jesus' name, my child has no percent chance. Because my child's not by chance. My child is a gift from Jesus. So we're in a world where anxiety will throw itself at you. But you've got to wise up. Rejoicing protects you from anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. Rejoicing is a guard. It defeats the enemy. I need to move on quickly. But in 3, when I said defeats the enemy, I've just drawn a little picture of a fork. If you can imagine a 2-pronged fork, I know most forks have more than 2, but if you have a pickled onion jar and you have a pickled onion fork, they only have 2 prongs. So if you have imagine that, a 2-pronged fork. One is the thing, the first prong, number one, is the thing the enemy's done to you. The thing the person did to you. You can't help that. It's what happened. It's a situation that's come your way. It may have been a sickness that came your way, that you're believing God and walking in victory for healing. It can be anything. But the thing that gets Christians just as much is the second prong, which is the enemy wanting you to respond in his way. You often can't do anything about the first thing that happened, the thing that came your way. I mean, hear what I'm saying with that. If it's a diagnosis of sickness, you can claim victory and get healed and all the rest of it. But the second thing can be just as damaging, if not more. Because the second prong the enemy pokes at you is for you to become bitter, resentful, and screwed up. And so when you rejoice, you break that second prong. You bend it back and it cannot penetrate. He can't get to you because you're already convinced. Your hand, your life is in God's hands. So rejoicing also will mean that the second prong of that attack from the enemy to pull you down and let you be defeated by the situation and rob your peace and your joy and your faith cannot penetrate. It defeats the enemy. But even sin. When you sin, the first thing you've done is sin. The second prong of that fork is to condemn you or push you down and to stop you operating in the power of God's anointing and call on your life. It's to take you out of service and effectiveness and to stop you fulfilling God's call on your life. But when you know there is therefore no condemnation, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from every confessed sin and he washes it away as though it's never happened, that second prong of the fork is ineffective. And actually, even the first one, when it comes to sin, because it's annihilated as though it's never happened. Okay, so again, very simple illustration, but I hope that helps. There are many victim Christians out there. What the pastor did. What the church did. What that person said. Well, I don't see anything in Scripture about having a victim mentality. Even when you're misunderstood or you misunderstand people, if you rejoice, you'll come through good. Okay? And when, just to finish on this three thing, then I'll quickly go to number four and we'll finish. Just want to pray for people before we finish today. But God's intention in verse 7 of chapter 4, where it says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The devil cannot have peace or joy. And so he wants to stop you having peace and joy. He wants to rob you of what he can't have. And so that's the second prong. It tries to rob you of what's yours in Christ Jesus. And then that in turn robs other people, because if you're as miserable as anything, you're not going to be helping and ministering or effective in serving in your church. You're just going to constantly be upset. So recognize that second prong and bend it back. Do you ever do what I do in restaurants? Bend the spoon in half. And I don't know why I do that. I just love it. I just bend the spoon in half. It's great. It's amazing. And it just keeps me happy. Sad little world sometimes I live in. But nevertheless, it's incredible. And so it's kind of like bend that fork thing back. Say, devil, you have nothing because I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And the more you rejoice in the Lord, the more it stops the enemy from being able to make you nurse it, rehearse it, be hurt by it, be upset by it. And you can have things that happen kind of like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, that made you feel inadequate or kind of like that you lost or whatever. And those things will stir up until you learn to rejoice. When you rejoice in God, the enemy will stop stirring up past hurt and pain because he'll know that it points you to Jesus. Hallelujah. And I promise you people, as you know here, that will work at every single level. Whether you've been a rape victim, whether you've been, whatever's happened in your life, God is bigger. Falsely imprisoned. Anything. The Apostle Paul was falsely imprisoned. In whatever life, I've seen this happen in people's lives. I haven't got time to go into this now, and I'm sure you have in different people's lives, where there is forgiveness, rejoicing. Just because you've forgiven someone doesn't mean you hang around with them anymore. Some people are dangerous, they carry wrong motives. You be careful and discerning. But nevertheless, your the battle's for your freedom in your heart, how tall you will stand. I hope this is helpful, people, because I know you get great teaching here. And then number four, the last one. Thank you for being so patient this morning. I know I've been only talking for 5 minutes. And you're rejoicing anyway if I'm going on, but I'm really nearly done now. See, rejoicing enables you to live in joy, freedom, and fruitfulness. Philippians 4:10 just says here, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me." Now, I'm just going to finish with that bit there, but listen. When you're not rejoicing, it's hard to be fruitful and have concern for others. Can I just take that out of those two lines? I've already alluded to this, but when you're down, when you're looking at yourself, when you're being controlled by other people, and if I said here this morning, is anyone here being controlled by anyone else? Oh no, I'm not controlled by anyone else. Or to any degree that anything anyone's doing to you or your situations or circumstances are getting you down, you are being controlled by something less than God. And God's so good to us. Jesus is so amazing. He's won a victory that you can come back this morning to a full place of peace and restoration. You're saying, God, I refuse and to carry that stuff anymore. And it's subtle how it can start to cling to you bit by bit before you know it. Just a little bit, then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. And before you know it, you just, the devil's a snaky, sneaky, little horrible little thing you tread in on a hot day on the pavement. He's just nasty. He is not good. And he just kind of like attacks you bit by bit, subtly. And before you know it, he's got one over on you if you take your focus off the Lord. And so we do need to be alert. We do need to be alert to the fact that we have responsibility to keep going in God. And the Apostle Paul here saying, at last you've renewed your concern for me. So I've just put here, when we're not rejoicing, it's hard to live in the way God wants us to. And then if you can just turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, and I pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and all that's part of the dominion of darkness. Hate, bitterness, rebellion, unforgiveness. And he's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Peace, joy, no anxiety, no stress. Work, yes, but in his grace, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So I've just put here, if rejoicing, which it does, enables you to live in joy and freedom and fruitfulness, we can live a life worthy of the calling. We can please him in every way. We can bear fruit. We grow in the knowledge, our relationship of him. We're strengthened with his power. We have great endurance and patience. And we are a people who can give thanks. Now, all of those great things and that are there, and again, I've just phoned them out. You can probably listen to the recording again and pick up or read this stuff yourself and let the Lord minister to you. The second prong in that fork is to take all of that away from you. The devil wants to steal what you have. So we need to be focused on the Lord. I know here in KF Southwest, we are so focused on God. I know Pastor Judith's heart, ministering in the name of Jesus, the victory that's won. Without victory is over an adversary. It says, be alert. The enemy prowls around and he doesn't wait till you're in the worship service. He waits because he's a coward and he hates worship. He waits till you're feeling vulnerable. He waits till something's happened to you. He waits until you're down or you're being tempted. And he seeks to rob you of the very things he can't have. He's only doing his job. But you have authority over him. It says, in the name of Jesus, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the evil one. So we need that kind of grunt in our spirit. We need that strength in our spirit. Amen. We need that kind of victory cry. There isn't just a kind of nice sound because it's a sound we have kind of in a distant way, but we need that victory sound that comes from a conviction and a decision. I will rejoice in the Lord always because I've made my choice to rejoice in the Lord. At my first reference point, my default point will be to rejoice. On my computer and probably on yours as well, you can decide which printer is the default printer. In other words, every time you go to print something, once you've set that as default, you don't always have to tell the computer which printer to print on. It will automatically do it because you set it as a default printer. And we need to have a default thing in our spirit that whatever happens, whatever comes our way, whatever's going on, we know God is in control. We know God has allowed it. And we will rejoice because we know that that is where our victory is. We know that in rejoicing, we're saying, God, we are trusting you. That takes us into a totally different realm because we don't have to work it all out. We don't have to justify ourselves. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to make the healing happen. We don't have to make the victory come because the victory is given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our rejoicing is 100% reflection that we are trusting him. Hallelujah. So what's the problem? Amen. I was just finishing with this. I was reading just for this last time, by the way, I just put how. Well, maybe we've just said how, but on a practical level, when I get out of bed in the morning, something I've cultivated over the years, and actually I gave all the students when you're in the barn down the road there a book on, I think one of the key things to be a Christian is to have be a thankful person. And so every morning when I get up, I just thank God. Just put a blog of this actually on our website, www.revivalchurch.co.uk. But I've got a shed in the garden. I don't get any money for this. I'm not bugging this. Don't like get 10p every time you watch it. But just, I've got a shed in the garden, which is my office. It's insulated shed. And so I do video blogs from there on our website. And the one before last, where I had the red Gantt jumper, with a thing. The last one wasn't so good. It was a cheaper top. But when I've got my red Gantt, it's linked, so they play through. The second one, if you see it, is about this. So every morning I get up and say, God, I just want to, I'm going to start. I don't feel thankful right now, but I often don't feel thankful in the morning at all. I feel awful first thing in the morning. I've got to get out of bed. You know, some people say, good morning, God. Some people say, God, it's morning. It's really hard. And I'm normally the second until I get in there and I get my cup of Earl Grey. And I go and I just say, God, I thank you for my family. I thank you I've got shelter. I thank you I've got food. I thank you you're amazing. I rejoice in you. I don't start my day and prayer time thinking about everything I need to pray for. I often don't pray about those things. What I need to do is get into it. I thank you, God. I rejoice in you that I've got my legs today. I've got my arms. I've got health. I've got fitness. I thank you, Father God, that you are amazing. Do you realize the Jews, when they use the toilet, they've even got a prayer to thank God for the health of their bowels? I think it's an amazing prayer to pray. I don't know what it is quite, but even in everything, like things we take for granted, when you think of the number of people that get internal sickness, well, I thank God for my health. I thank God for my heart. I thank God for my internal organs. I thank God for my eyes and my ears. I thank God that I can live and move and have my being in Him. And all of that within 5 minutes of getting out of bed. You've got to have a good day. And when things come your way differently, you're already in rejoicing mode. So that's how. It's simple. It's just a choice. That's how you do this stuff. You just keep looking to God. You'll all be in the loo later. Thank you, God, for my bowels. Hallelujah. Thank you that Pastor Dave just reminded me of that. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the title of the sermon. Thank God for my bowels. Hallelujah. I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah. And I've got this poster on the wall. Rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. Great. All right. And so that's how. It's simple. You just do it. You just do it. You just thank God. Hallelujah. Because God always adds to thankfulness and rejoicing. Is that all right? He loves a grateful heart. He loves a thankful heart because it acknowledges who He is and what He's already done. Amen. And people, if you've ever been a hospital chaplain or done any of that, when you see some of the things people suffer from, and people getting dementia and all of that stuff, that's high up on the agenda nowadays. So I thank God. God, thank you for a sound mind. Thank you, I have the mind. I'm already preparing that stuff can't come my way. I'm not going to wait. I'm thanking God. My mum's just, for a couple of years, had dementia now and all this. And I've seen, and so I go across to a dementia unit quite a lot. And you see what the devil's done to people's minds. I'm telling you, a rejoicing heart protects you from, and a thankful heart will protect you from the harm, the enemy. Bitterness brings you away. Bitterness attracts stuff. I'm not saying everyone that has these things has been bitter or done things wrong. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I'm sure not having any of that nonsense in the powerful name of Jesus. So when you cultivate a thankful, rejoicing heart, you are guarding yourself. And then you can minister to other people as well. Amen. And finishing with a Twitter thing Bill Johnson did, I was just looking at this morning. He says, in the world, rejoicing comes out of joy. In other words, in the world, rejoicing comes out of, well, I'm happy when good things happen. But it says, in the kingdom, joy comes out of rejoicing. In the kingdom, joy comes out of rejoicing. Because rejoicing focuses you again and acknowledges that Jesus is brilliant, He's amazing, He's in control. Hallelujah. He's on the throne. Nothing is too difficult for Him. He's amazing. And He'll bring you through. Hallelujah. Let's stand and give the Lord a clap.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.